D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
It's Thanksgiving, but lots of myths surround this important holiday. We dispel them today on Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Though we still celebrate Thanksgiving as a national holiday every year, many have forgotten what it's about. That's not terribly surprising, especially when we hear of school children being falsely told that Thanksgiving was a time when the pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians, and when we see politicians berating appointees for office because of their Christian faith. We have drifted a very long way from our founding principles. On today's program, we will look at those principles and how they have guaranteed the freest, most prosperous nation in modern history. And we'll share a resource with you that will bolster your biblical faith as you revel in the truths of America's founding. As we begin, our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb co-wrote numerous books with Dr. D. James Kennedy that dealt with the central role of Christianity in the settling and founding of America. He's also the co-author of the best-selling book, George Washington's Sacred Fire, dealing with the deep Christian convictions of the father of our country. Jerry joins us now to discuss the importance of America's Christian foundation. Jerry, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Really? Children are being taught that the pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians at the first Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, in today's politically correct milieu, they're rewriting our history and telling it wrong. But the pilgrims did give thanks to God for the Indians, and they gave thanks to God for everything, including the crops at harvest time, which is what the first Thanksgiving was all about. In fact, it was a three-day celebration, and the Indians participated with them, and they enjoyed good times together. But the bottom line is the pilgrims developed the Christian habit, as the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances, and they were thankful in all circumstances. And this was after the year before, during that winter, half their number had died from diseases. And so they were giving thanks despite how bleak some things had turned out to be.
Okay, so this was almost 400 years ago, and this was a group of people that had thankful hearts to God. Why does that make such a difference in as we think about our nation today?
Well, it makes a huge difference in all kinds of different ways. I mean, just the fact that as you opened up, you said Happy Thanksgiving. This is an annual holiday. But I think the single most important thing is this. When the pilgrims were blown off course and they were under no government's jurisdiction when they landed at Cape Cod, and what they did was they had earlier made a spiritual covenant binding one man to another and woman under God, okay? They made this covenant, a biblical type covenant, but it was a compact. And then what they did was they politicized that as they made an agreement in the Mayflower cabin before they even disembarked. They made an agreement called the Mayflower Compact, and it was the first step in the process of the U.S. creating its own constitution. In fact, it was the first of about 100 or so compacts, frames of government, charters, and so forth, uniquely leading the way to the Constitution. So you go from we whose names are underwritten, which is what they said in the Mayflower Compact, 1620, to we the people in 1787. In the name of God, amen. That's how they began that Mayflower Compact.
The pilgrims recognized that civil government is something that God sanctions and even ordains.
Yes.
And they were concerned, though, because based on their Christian understanding of human nature, that just any old government wouldn't do. It would have to have certain attributes to really defend against the wrong side of our nature. What were some of the things they did to protect?
Well, in the example of the pilgrims, they themselves had to, you know, they realized that the Bible teaches man is sinful. But they also realized the Bible teaches that God makes covenants with his people, and his people makes covenants with God. And so using that model, they were the first to create this self-government, a charter for self-government in the example of the Mayflower Compact. And so they started the process of constitutional government. And by the time you get to Philadelphia in 1787, the founding fathers, having a biblical worldview, not all of them necessarily being born again, but having this Christian view, knew that all men having power ought not to be trusted, to quote James Madison. Ben Franklin said, if you had 100 kings, only one of them would not tend to be like Pharaoh, grabbing all the power to himself. John Adams, second president and a key founding father, he said, all men having power are like ravenous beasts. So in other words, what the founders did, the founders of America in 1787, they protected us one man from the other. And the pilgrims, again, started this whole process of constitutional making.
Jerry, these people took what we would look at today, a desperate voyage, a long journey in sailing ships across the Atlantic Ocean, and arriving really at the beginning of the stormy season in the North Atlantic. And it was the hand of God that secured their safe passage. But what was their motivation for leaving in the first place?
Well, they said it actually in the Mayflower Compact, November 11, 1620. They said that they did this for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Now think about this. D. James Kennedy himself once said this. He said, America began as a church relocation project. And he was talking specifically about the pilgrims. The pilgrims were just one congregation, a congregation that had begun in the heart of England in 1606. They wanted to worship Jesus and the purity of the gospel, but it was illegal to do that. King James I put a lot of persecution on those groups. It was basically, stick with the Church of England, conform, or I'm going to punish you if you don't. They sent about 50 of their congregations in 1620 in the Mayflower. And as you said, it was a stormy season and so forth, and half their number died that first winter. But they gave thanks to the Lord through it all, and they managed to create their colony in Plymouth, and it lasted. And they made peace, by the way, with the Indians, which lasted for 53 years, and it was not violated by them. It was violated at the Indian side of things. And they were just model Christian people in all ways you can imagine.
Jerry, thank you very much.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, Frank.
Thanks, same to you. Times have not been easy in America recently. We are at the moment a very divided nation, and we need not look far to see that we are running off the rails of a moral and civil society. Yet we can learn a lesson about giving thanks in all circumstances from our Christian pilgrim forebears, who stopped to give thanks under circumstances far more grave than our own. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with a portion of his classic message, Pilgrims Give Thanks.
If you were to ask the average American today what they know about the pilgrims, they might tell you that, well, they're the ones that invented Thanksgiving and the eating of turkeys. Well, why did they do that? Well, because they were so happy about the wonderful crops and the abundance that they had here that they wanted to give thanks to the Indians. That's what Harcourt Brace textbook, 11th grade, teaches students. I talked to somebody just this morning who, until they were an adult, believed that at Thanksgiving, the pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians. What were they thankful for? For the abundance of their crops? No. There was no abundance. The average meal that winter consisted of 5 hard kernels of corn on the plate. Period. Just about exactly 50% of all the pilgrims had died in that first winter of 1621. They landed in early December of 1620. And now it is the fall of 1621. Half of them are gone. There's virtually not a family left who has not lost a husband or a wife or a child. Little food. Many were still sick. But they were men and women of the book. They believed the word of God. By the way, in 1623, there was another Thanksgiving. And this time there was abundance. The crops were great. The food was quite abundant. They were doing well. They had Thanksgiving again. By the way, I trust you know what happened in between 1621 and 1623. They changed their economy. Many people don't know that. Some of you do. You see, the London company that financed this adventure required, at 45% interest, which they paid off every nickel of it, they required that they have a communal or socialistic, communistic government, and that everything be brought into a common barn and nobody own any property. And that it would be from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Long before Karl Marx wrote it out, the founders of this country had a communist economy. The result? 50% of the inhabitants died. And then Governor Bradford said, "We had thought ourselves wiser than God, and now it was each man for himself." And there was a piece of ground given to every family, and the increase was astonishing. There was a Thanksgiving that took place filled with abundance. But the interesting thing is that the pilgrims gave thanks, both in the good time and the bad. I wonder if everyone in this room had lost an intimate family member in this last year, how joyous would be your Thanksgiving. Theirs was, "In all things give thanks," is what they believed. And by the way, for a long time after that year, they had 5 little dried kernels of corn on the side of their plate to remind them of the hard time that had gone before. But they were men and women who understood the importance of thankfulness. "What hast thou," saith the scripture, "that thou didst not receive?" Do you have a good mind? When did you make that? Do you have a strong physique? Who gave it to you? Do you live in a land of freedom, abundance, and plenty? Was that your planning or his? How grateful we should be. May we pray also that God will increasingly give us the gift of gratitude, that we might indeed be children pleasing to our Heavenly Father. In His name, may we pray. Father, grant us, in addition to all of the blessings that we have received in this nation, which are beyond what most people have ever known in this world, above all of that, grant us grateful hearts, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Dr. Kennedy reminds us today, every good thing we have comes from the hand of our gracious God. Later, we will share a resource with you that will show you God's promises and the times they have been fulfilled in the history of our country. All of that harkens back to the very beginning, when the pilgrims set sail for religious freedom on the American continent. a story that is too often forgotten. Now, our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Our country has lost the sense of why we have religious liberty, why it is the first freedom, the first principle. We still have it in our DNA that, hey, the pilgrims came over and they sought religious liberty. That's still there, but we've really lost on a day-to-day basis what that means.
There's a lot of controversy today surrounding the notion that the Christian faith played any kind of role in our country's founding.
Our country was founded on a godless constitution.
But the historical evidence says otherwise.
I'm convinced that many, many of our early fathers believed that they were in this place in order to present to the world a kind of a prototype of what real Christian living should be, and its government should reflect the ability of folks to be salt and light in the world. What's at risk now is having somebody go back and a whole group of folk go back and erase the historic traces of our Christianity and prevent us going forward with actually living out and following the tenets of our Christianity. That's really the juncture that we are at this time in history.
Indeed, what is the true story of our nation's roots? Did the Bible play a significant role in the founding of America? And who exactly were the pilgrims?
These people were separatists. They were part of the Church of England, but they believed that the Church of England was engaging in some unbiblical principles, and so they wanted to separate from the Church of England. They were Puritan separatists. The Puritans wanted to purify the Church of England. The separatists believed that couldn't be done, and so they wanted to separate from the Church of England. They had suffered persecution in England, and they wanted to come to create a new life and a new civilization based on what they called the ordinance of Scripture in the New World. And so they came here with this biblical worldview to create a new nation that would be truthful to the values of Scripture and those core values that celebrated personal freedom, equality of all people before God, and the biblical foundation of what they believed were inalienable rights, God-given rights that they believed every person had as a gift from God. Not from government, not from man, but a gift from God.
One of the great texts on liberty that we find in the Bible is the story of the Exodus, right? The Exodus narrative is a story about liberation, about liberty. I think you could tell the whole story of American history through the use of that text in American history. It was a text that spoke in a profound way to those pilgrims and Puritans who came to the rocky shores of New England, escaping religious persecution in the old world. It's a story that affirms this notion that true liberty is found in the liberty that God provides.
Consider the fact that we have an annual reminder of our nation's Christian roots as seen in the Thanksgiving holiday.
Well, our American Thanksgiving is based on the pilgrims and what occurred in 1621 at their colony in what would become the state of Massachusetts. Pilgrims had had a very hard year, a hard winter that had taken half their number. But in 1621, in that fall, they had a very bountiful harvest, and they knew then that they were going to survive. And so they called for a Thanksgiving celebration. The pilgrims had learn to plant crops and survive through the help of Native American people. And so when they held this Thanksgiving, they invited the local tribe of Native Americans who came in fellowship with them and celebrated this Thanksgiving with them as the pilgrims thanked God for protecting them and providing for them in the wilderness.
At the time, their governor, William Bradford, wrote in the first Thanksgiving proclamation in 1621,
"Therefore, I, William Bradford, governor of Plymouth, say, through virtue of vested power, ye shall gather with one accord, and hold in the month of November, thanksgiving unto the Lord."
The first president of the United States to declare a national day of Thanksgiving was the first president, George Washington, who wrote an official proclamation on October 3, 1789, in which he declared,
"Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these United States to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks."
While Washington was the first president to declare a national day of Thanksgiving, President Lincoln was the first one to make Thanksgiving an annual holiday, a tradition that, of course, persists to this very day. During one of the darkest periods in American history, on October 3, 1863, President Lincoln, in conjunction with Congress, proclaimed,
"In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, peace has been preserved with all nations, and harmony has prevailed everywhere, except in the theater of military conflict. I do, therefore, invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens."
When the Pilgrims came here in 1620 to New England, they came to these shores, they were coming with this sense and the goal to create a commonwealth, to create a community that was based on the Word of God. And of course, to them, Christianity was the wellspring of liberty.
The Pilgrims made some mistakes upon their arrival in America, and they faced a great deal of hardship as a result. But never did they give up their trust in the faithfulness of God. They celebrated it the first Thanksgiving, a year when half of their original traveling party had already died. And yet they celebrated it later in abundance as well. Sadly, not many today know America's true history, nor how so many of our settlers, founders, and leaders have relied upon the promises of the God of the Bible. But we have a resource that will help remedy that lack. It's the book, God's Promises for the American Patriot, by Dr. Richard Lee and Jack Countryman. This book pulls together exciting stories and character sketches ranging from the founders up through our own day, and connects their work to the biblical promises of God. There's no book quite like this, and we'd like you to have it as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. Learn how Alexander Hamilton, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Dwight Eisenhower, among many others, looked to the Scriptures for guidance and saw the promises of God fulfilled in their own lives in the history of the nation. This 197-page book features dozens of short chapters that can easily be read each day as a devotional, reminding you of the unbending promises of God, drawn from the Scriptures. You will be encouraged and edified, and you will want to share this book with your children and grandchildren as well. The book is God's Promises for the American Patriot, and we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. This Thanksgiving, we give thanks for the bounty the Lord has given us, even in troubled times. And we also remember that this bounty didn't happen in a vacuum. Other nations, like Venezuela, for example, have had ample natural resources and yet have been mired in poverty and totalitarianism. What is it that has made America different? Quite simply, it's our structure of government, which comes from a biblical framework and has been handed down to us, though modern Americans are letting it slip away. As the Pilgrims arrived in America in 1620, they landed far from their original destination and were outside the boundaries of English governmental authority. On top of that, they recognized that there were differences in beliefs and doctrines among those who had arrived at Plymouth. Yet they knew they needed a government, and thus they established the Mayflower Compact on board the ship, the first written framework for self-government in history. It began with the words, "In the name of God, Amen." The Mayflower Compact had an enormous influence on those who developed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution 150 years later. Self-government was an unprecedented achievement. It depended upon a Christian view of humanity, which recognized the need for governmental power and that that power needed to be divided and checked because of our sinful nature. These settlers also recognized that we must regulate our own behavior in obedience to God. Otherwise, an overweening government would regulate it for us. Sadly, today, as our Christian foundations are eroded, we have become a hedonistic people, decreasingly capable of self-government. As the founding father John Adams famously wrote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." The gift of self-government, given to us by our Christian forebears, is indeed something to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving weekend. And in these troublous times, we must work for a return to its Christian foundations, lest it be permanently lost for everyone. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
What difference does Christianity make? The eloquence of his Christian life was credited with changing England.
I was talking to the leader of the Republican Congress not long ago. He sort of whistled. He said, "Wilberforce, 47 years?" He said, "I can't get some of my fellow Republican congressmen to concentrate on an issue more than 5 months.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.